Well, this is true. I mean, everybody loves the people that write the big checks, right? And if you write billions of dollars worth of checks to buy products and services from every part of the economy, you can expect to have people flocking to your door. And when you throw a party for the team whose job it is to buy all that stuff, you want to do it upright. Hold it in Las Vegas, for starters. Spare no expense. In short, make it
a raucous, extravagant, arrogant, self-congratulatory event that ultimately belittled federal workers.
Ouch. That event caused Martha Johnson, speaking there, to lose her job with the Federal General Services Administration. Charges of lavish spending on parties and bonuses and travel were the subject of hearings on Capitol Hill yesterday, where former GSA Director Johnson sounded more than a little contrite.
I personally apologize to the American people. As the head of the agency, I am responsible. I deeply regret this. I will mourn for the rest of my life the loss of my appointment.
Martha Johnson is not the only object of congressional wrath regarding wasteful spending. And here to talk about all of it is Takeaway correspondent Todd Zwillick, who joins us now. Todd, thanks for being with us.
Of course, John. Good morning.
And let's talk first of all about Martha Johnson, a big fish in the administration to go down. Does this have campaign implications?
Well, that remains to be seen, of course. I can probably tell you that north of 99% of Americans didn't know who Martha Johnson was before a week ago. Something less than that had never heard of the GSA before a week ago. Not a well-known agency, but boy, they are now. Martha Johnson resigned her post when this scandal broke, of course, some 10 days ago. Now, the White House, you know, in politics, when something bad like this goes down, you do want people to resign, but you also want the opportunity to fire people in the White House. Managed to fire two other GSA employees. Interestingly, another person who's at the center of this, John, and this was a big part of the hearings yesterday, was Jeffrey Neely. He's a commissioner in the western portion of the GSA, which is sort of divided into zones around the country.
Right.
He has not been fired. He's still working for the agency, and members of Congress are very interested in him because he's the guy who pretty much organized this conference. The emails show he wanted it big. He wanted it lavish. He had his friends involved in planning it. He used a party planning agency, even though event planners do work for the GSA. Lawmakers are furious about this and furious about why Jeffrey Neely still isn't fired at the GSA and happens to be on the payroll.
And of course, he's at the center of all of this, so you'd expect yesterday at the hearings he'd have all sorts of things to say.
I must ask you once again to consider answering the questions. So if you'll bear with me. Mr. Neely, what is your title at GSA?
Mr. Chairman, on the advice of counsel, I respectfully decline to answer based upon my Fifth Amendment constitutional privilege.
Mr. Neely, did you attend the 2010 Western Regional Conference in Las Vegas?
Mr. Chairman, on the advice of my counsel, I respectfully decline to answer based upon my Fifth Amendment constitutional privilege.
Yikes. It sounds like he at least thinks he might be in a world of trouble.
He has reason to think that. We should say that this hearing yesterday in the Government Oversight Committee, headed by Daryl Issa of California,
who was questioning him there,
he was, is not the last of this. Everybody wants a crack at this, Republicans and Democrats. John, more hearings today in another House hearing controlled by Republicans. Senate Democrats want to get their licks in, so the committees of jurisdiction in the Senate will be at this on Wednesday. So Neely is invited back in all of those places and is expected to take the Fifth there as well. He has reason to believe that because the inspector general of the GSA, the investigative arm, independent, which issued this scathing report and whose head testified yesterday, has recommended to the Department of Justice criminal charges pending from this incident. Now, Mr. Neely is not named. Others are not named, and the charges are not specific yet. But given that his lawyer has given him the good advice to exercise his Fifth Amendment privileges, and given some of the charges, what appear to be chargeable offenses in that report, he might be doing a smart thing.
All right. I want to talk about how lawmakers yesterday attempted to connect this with the White House. We're going to play a little piece from the hearing that gives a sense of that. But before we do that, just step back for one second. What kinds of expenses are we talking about here? What's the scale? What's the egregiousness of some of these items?
People may have heard a little bit about this. The scale overall is on the order of $820,000-$830,000 in Las Vegas. This is a conference not between GSA and outside contractors or anything like that. This is just a team-building conference for GSA employees. Expenses, we're talking about breakfasts that went on the order of $45, $7,000 for a dinner. We're talking about a point sort of incentive program that didn't just have people getting, you know, mugs and T-shirts, but iPods and electronic cameras.
And Vegas is a place where you can go to the buffet and get a virtually free breakfast. So a $40 breakfast in Vegas has particular implications. All right, let's listen to Congressman Daryl Issa talking with another member of the GSA.
Okay, so you hear about it in May. You reported promptly to a staff person within the White House.
I would say it was sometime after May, in the next several weeks.
Within a few weeks.
Yes.
Who was that staff person?
It was a member of the White House counsel's office that I work with on a regular basis as far as GSA issues go.
I said who?
It was a lawyer in the White House counsel's office.
What's the name?
Her name was Kim Harris.
Kim Harris?
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you very much.
Now, why wouldn't that individual be more forthcoming? That's the GSA White House liaison, Michael Robertson.
I can't say except that it certainly you could hear the reticence in his voice that he wanted to do his best to shield his contact at the White House from having known about this GSA report long before anybody else did. Of course, they knew about it. That's politics, and the White House gets informed of these reports. But Daryl Issa wanted to make sure that everybody knew that Kim Harris, whoever that lawyer is in the office of the counsel, that the White House knew about this report for a long time and didn't tell the public until the IG itself decided.
And made a dramatic point that definitely in those hearings. Finally, Leon Panetta, what's his status? There's travel allegations that he took too many plane trips out to the West Coast.
That's right. And Leon Panetta, a similar amount of money, which is why we're mentioning it here, $820,000 of travel from Leon Panetta to go on a weekend basis out to his home in California. The interesting thing about this, John, is that I asked a couple lawmakers about this yesterday. Nobody seems to be interested in giving Leon Panetta a hard time for his travel. He is required to fly on military transports. He doesn't have a choice. He reimburses the government at about $620 per round trip for his own travel, but he has to travel with the security and the communications and the entourage and everything else. So even Republicans were like, he can have a personal life. $820,000 for this, $850,000 for the GSA. They're mad about one, not about the other, but that shows.
It's in play. Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent, helping us to tell you just where your tax dollars are going on this tax day. Thanks, Todd.
My pleasure.
And now at 15 minutes past the hour, let's check in on some of the other headlines that we're following this morning. The Pentagon is investigating at least 10 members of the military. They've been linked to a prostitution scandal in Colombia last weekend. They were in Cartagena helping the Secret Service prepare for President Obama's visit to the Summit of Americas. 11 members of the Secret Service are also being investigated for allegedly hiring prostitutes. In Paris, the Friends of Syria are meeting to try and keep up the pressure on President Assad. The international group of countries is meeting to consolidate sanctions against Syria in an effort to stop the violence there. Meanwhile, inside Syria, activists are reporting government forces are still firing on opposition groups in violation of the UN ceasefire. Here in the U.S., authorities say they've busted a secret internet drugs market. The ring is known as the Farmers Market. It operated through a computer network and allowed users to communicate anonymously. Six people have been held in the Los Angeles area. You're listening to The Takeaway. We're going to talk later at this hour about polarization, how the polarization of Washington is actually translating into everyday life for Americans. A listener in Evans, Georgia, is comfortable sticking to her end of the spectrum. She sent this text. There are certain businesses my family and I do not frequent because of their politics and morals. Some examples, Chick-fil-A and Cracker Barrel. So, do you choose your restaurants, your friends, maybe even your neighborhoods based on politics? And if you do go looking for a difference of opinion, where do you find it? Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE or post to thetakeaway.org. In just a moment, we'll speak to the author of a new book on Sharia law and take a look at what Sharia is and is not. You may be surprised at the answers to that question. That's coming up next. We'll be right back.